FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome, and you are listening to the Financial Survival Network. Today is December 12th, 2017. Well, you heard recently about a massive cryptocurrency theft. Somewhere around $62 million worth of coins was stolen from an exchange. And if this wasn't the first time, if it was the first time, you'd be wary, but this has happened multiple times. What do you do to protect your cryptocurrencies, assuming you have any at all, which if you don't now, you probably will at some time in the very near future? There are solutions out there, a number of different solutions, but Gregor Gregerson is with us again, was with us before talking about physical precious metal storage. And now, Gregor, you have a solution for physical cryptocurrency storage. Before we get to it, just remember, email us kl@kerrylutz.com to be involved in the show. And the Twitter feed is @KerryLutz. Gregor, welcome back to the show.
Yeah, thank you very much.
So you came up with a thing called the Gregerson-Gano standard for physical crypto storage. In simplistic terms, because it's way over my head, how does this work?
Well, essentially, we've been allowing people to buy and sell gold using Bitcoin for quite a while. And last year, we've been seeing more and more people going into crypto. And some of these people just weren't very technically savvy. And we kind of really saw the need to figure out a way of storing crypto safely for our customers. And as I was looking more and more into it, I basically thought, hey, we have a vault. It actually makes sense to take some of these private keys, because cryptocurrency is all controlled by the private key. It's basically a string of numbers and letters, and whoever has that string basically has access to the account. So it's very important to keep this safe. And as you mentioned before, there have been several instances of exchanges getting hacked. And so we figured, well, the easiest way to prevent hackers from stealing data digitally is not to keep this data digitally. So in other words, we are generating the private key in memory in our offline system, and then we use a laser to basically engrave a polycarbonate plastic card, as well as a backup card, using an encrypted private key. And this key then gets stored inside a safe deposit box. Now, the beauty of the system is because we are deleting the private key from any type of digital storage, from any computer, it cannot be hacked digitally. And because the key itself is encrypted, there's no point in stealing the key, because unless you have the decryption system, you wouldn't be able to use it. So essentially, it makes for a very safe system. And the reason we are using a laser on polycarbonate plastic is just to make sure that you can store this thing for 20, 30, 40, 50 years without having to worry about it decaying. Because you might have heard that there are about 3 million bitcoins, which are many hundreds of millions of dollars nowadays, which have been lost because people lost their private key, or because they threw away their computer, or their, wherever they wrote it down, the ink started running and so on. And once you lose it, there's no way of getting it back. So essentially, we looked at how can we make this thing super secure and how can we make it super reliable. And we basically came up with this 36-page white paper describing in detail how we are doing it. And we're calling it the Gregerson-Gano standard because, you know, we're quite okay with other people copying the system because we just feel this is a good way of storing crypto in a safe way. And we kind of think that crypto is here to stay, and it's going to be a complementary asset class to bullion. So it made sense for us to go into that direction.
All right. And what you mentioned to me is that you can put money or crypto coins into this card, if you will, into your wallet, but you can't take them out without further authentication. Do I have that right?
Yeah. So essentially, the way most cryptocurrencies, including Bitcoin, works is that you need a private key to take out your Bitcoins. You can think of the private key like an online banking password, plus two-factor authentication, plus your little SIM card thingy. So if you have that key, you can take your coins out. Now, if you want to send coins in, all you need to have is the address, the Bitcoin address, which is the equivalent of a bank account. So when you open an account with us for storage, we are basically sending you, say, your address, which basically is your bank account. And just like with a bank account, you can send money in whenever you want. Once you're ready to take it out, you basically will contact us to take it out. Now, the reason you have to contact us is because most hacking, most stealing of Bitcoins or other crypto, it's not necessarily because somebody's hacking a computer, but very often it's a case of impersonification. So if a customer has his phone stolen, for example, and if there's no password, then basically whoever steals the phone would have access to that person's email, would also have access to that person's two-factor authentication, because oftentimes that's just a SIM message being sent to the phone.
Right.
So in those sort of cases, if you have your Bitcoin on some online wallet, you know, you might suddenly find that you're going to lose it. So what we came up with is this idea that we actually have to do a teleconference, meaning we have to have a video conference using Skype or Telegram or some other system. And we have three personnel at the vault, which will actually identify you that you're indeed you. And that basically prevents most cases of impersonification, because somebody who's trying to impersonate you is unlikely to want to be seen on a teleconference. So we are kind of looking at security from multiple angles, not just securing the crypto itself, but you know how to retrieve it. And when you build these storage systems, you essentially have three key factors that you can work towards: convenience, reliability, and security. But you can really only do two of those three. And in our case, we've been focusing on security and reliability, and it's not as convenient as a wallet, but that's why it's safe, essentially.
I see. So a little less convenient than a wallet, but look, nobody is really spending their cryptocurrency these days, are they? They're selling it, perhaps, but they're not really, you're not really out there buying goods and services with it. How many people are using it for that, Gregor?
Well, I guess not a whole lot yet, but there are some services which are allowing you to connect a credit card to your crypto balance. So once you attach a credit card to it, then it's relatively easy. But, you know, cryptocurrencies have gone up so much in value that,
exactly,
you know, having $5,000 on your phone wallet, that might be quite okay. But, you know, if you have $500,000 or $1 million worth of crypto on your phone wallet, you know, most people feel a little bit uneasy, because you want to make sure so you don't lose that. And the storage system we built is basically for storing large amounts of crypto for extended periods of time very safely. As a matter of fact, we are most likely going to be able to offer insurance on it as well.
That'll be a big plus.
From Lloyd's. Yes, I was just on the phone with them. We might be able to get up to $1 billion in insurance through them. So that will give additional peace of mind to people.
It seems to me if you are an exchange, then you're going to want to be able to insure your depositors, for lack of a better word. You want to be able to insure their holdings, because otherwise you live in a real insecure world. It's like putting money in a bank that isn't insured by the FDIC, or putting more than is insured by this federal government insurance scheme, if you will.
To a certain degree, the issue with insurance of cryptocurrency is that the insurance companies are very, vary about insuring crypto, which is stored, depending on how it is stored, because, of course, it's very difficult for an insurance company to sort of assess what the likelihood of a hacking is.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, how does an insurer know whether it's the latest patches on the operating system are installed or whether some operating system hole is going to be showing up? So what they essentially want is a system that is foolproof or close to foolproof, and they would only insure those type of systems. And essentially, by us saying, hey, look, we're not having it on a computer anymore, we're putting it inside a safe deposit box and storing it along with our gold, that's something that the insurance company can believe in. And that's why we are most likely going to be able to get insurance, which right now most exchanges do not have insurance.
Yeah, it's very rare for an exchange. I haven't heard of any, frankly, to have insurance, because the only one who's going to do it, there's two companies who will do it, Lloyd's and AIG, right? Nobody else is going to insure this stuff. So, and they're going to be very strict on giving it out as well. You're going to have to meet huge safety criteria, security criteria, before they'll even consider writing you a policy.
Exactly. And in many ways, you know, when you have insurance, that's sort of an easy way for customers to know, okay, the system ought to be reliable. Otherwise, the insurance company wouldn't put some money on at stake on in one of these things.
Yeah, exactly. So when we look at this, you think it's going to become the standard? I mean, you've got a lot of other people, companies out there, a lot of them well-heeled, who are trying to do pretty much the same thing you are. You know, you've got USB sticks and a lot of other ways of doing it. How are you finding the competitive landscape here?
Well, we are sort of going into a niche, and the niche is large amounts of crypto for long periods of time. Like you mentioned, on USB stick, you know, something that's being used quite often. But the problem is that USB sticks tend to fail at some point. On average, you know, their lifetime will be 5 to 10 years. So you would have to create multiple USB sticks and have backups. And the more backups you create, the higher the risk of losing one, which then increases your security risk. So I would say for somebody who is confident in knowing what they do, they probably can store their own private keys quite safely. But you need to have a certain discipline. You need to have a certain amount of technical understanding as well. But I think there's plenty of people out there which, you know, wouldn't mind paying, say, 10 or 20 basis points a year in order to have it insured, I mean, to have it stored safely. And that's basically the market that we're going after, so people who want to have peace of mind. And, you know, a lot of this was prompted because we had one 73-year-old customer who sold $500,000 worth of platinum and went into crypto. And he was not very computer savvy. He didn't know what, you know, copy and paste was, for example. So suddenly you sort of realize that if these people click the wrong buttons, you know, suddenly a lot of that can be gone, because with cryptocurrencies, if you lose your private key or you send Bitcoin somewhere in the wrong place, there's no going back.
Yeah, correct. Well, this all sounds really fascinating, cutting edge. I'm sure you're going to want to find out more. Gregor, where do they go to find out more about what you're doing?
Currently, you would go to the safehouse.com.sg. I'm sorry, .sg. So safehouse.sg, which is our website. Or you could just Google physical crypto storage, and you would find us right away. So this is one 4-minute video which gives a good overview of what we're doing.
All right. Well, we'll have a link to your site in the show notes to this interview on financialsurvivalnetwork.com. I'm sure you're going to have lots of questions about it. Just email us, be part of the show, and that's kl@kerrylutz.com. Don't forget the Twitter feed @kerrylutz, and of course our reliable Facebook page, which I know you love, and that's Financial Survival Network. Gregor, wish you the best of luck. Come on in a couple months when you got Lloyd's backing you up, and then you'll have a huge announcement.
Sounds good. And, you know, if I can just add one thing, we will be hooking up our peer-to-peer lending system to this cryptocurrency. So people storing with us would essentially be able to get loans at around 4 or 5% to using their crypto as collateral. So I think that's going to be a very attractive feature to a lot of people.
Absolutely. Yes, I'm glad you mentioned that. So think about peer-to-peer lending on your cryptos. Gregor, it's great to speak with you again. Good luck, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Yep. All the best. Take care.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.